everybody. Welcome to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman for the New American Magazine. And with us today is a very special guest. She is a prominent citizen activist in Missouri. She works very closely with lawmakers in the state of Missouri, focusing on a number of different issues, protecting unborn babies, protecting health freedom, protecting parental rights, and of course, keeping government limited and small. She's been very active with Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles, CWA, that's Concerned Women of America, and lots of other grassroots organizations in Missouri. And one of the things she's been looking at recently is something that we're battling here in Florida, and I'm pretty sure it's going on in your state as well, and that is these hospitals, and not just hospitals, but also other businesses and other government agencies being given basically exemptions from liability if they do what Lord Fauci says, but not if they do what patients want or what citizens want or what taxpayers want. Lisa, talk to us a little bit about what's happening with these hospitals. What are they giving them immunity from liability for, and why is that a dangerous trend?
Okay, so there's two things that I want to talk about today. Those two things are, one is the bill that's before DeSantis's desk, which people need to be concerned because it's not just Florida. Florida seems to be that beacon of light and hope, but all the states pretty much have this legislation that's either been passed or will be passed and extended. Now, DeSantis's, that one that we're speaking about, it already has been passed. So we're talking about extending it even further for another year and a half. But I also want to focus on a law that's already on the books, because again, with Florida, we can see if Florida is looking like it's anti-freedom, then what are the rest of the states really in reality? Because I think we've been lulled into this sense that we're protected in the state of Florida, and it just isn't the case. So with that, I'll go ahead and just talk to you about both of these bills and what the legal language actually says so that people can comprehend it. Last year, DeSantis put forth protections for schools and businesses, right? Like we know, he said, enough of this nonsense, the schools are going to remain open, and so are the businesses in the state of Florida. Now, what I think people don't know is that any moment that could be taken away from them, because the legal language actually said that is true, that the schools will remain open, okay, as long as they are adhering to the strategies recommended by the federal or state health agencies. So in both the schools and the businesses, those will remain open if their state or their federal health agencies deem it so. That should be concerning, because at any point that you don't have a freedom-loving person sitting as a health director in the state of Florida, or the federal governments want to assert their control and basically constrict them a little further, then you're going to be in trouble. There was also something related to travel that I thought that everyone should know. It says, an order issued by a political subdivision which imposes a curfew restricting the travel or movement of persons during designated times must nonetheless allow persons to travel during the curfew to places of employment and residences after it concludes. So, I mean, we know that this is a constitutional right that shouldn't even be infringed upon, our freedom to travel. Okay, but now we're putting into law that you have the freedom to travel during curfews if it's to your place of employment and back. To me, when I started to read it, and even though I knew that this was an affront against our rights, I thought, well, this is going to say to your place of worship. It wasn't even to your place of worship. It was to your place of employment. I think, is the most egregious point that is on the books. It's about forced vaccinations. So people in the state of Florida need to understand, I have not read this in any other state, including the state that I reside in Missouri, but Florida has on their books already forced vaccination laws. And so I'm just going to read what it says. It says, the state health officer upon declaration of a public health emergency, may take actions that are necessary to protect the public health. Such actions include, but are not limited to, ordering an individual to be examined, tested, vaccinated, treated, isolated, or quarantined for communicable diseases that have significant morbidity or mortality and present a severe danger to public health. Individuals who are unable or unwilling to be examined, tested, vaccinated, or treated for reasons of health, religion, or conscience may be subjected to isolation or quarantine. If the individual poses a danger of public health, and if there is no practical method to isolate or quarantine that individual, the state health officer may use any means necessary to vaccinate or treat the individual. And this is enforceable by law enforcement. I mean, to me, this is shocking. The people should be shocked. I am shocked that no one has talked about this under COVID up to this point, that Florida already has laws on their books and it was not amended. It was not struck down. It was not taken out of when Governor DeSantis actually put forth protections. This was existing law and it did not get struck down when he went in and tweaked those laws to add protections. And to me, I thought that would be the very first thing that I would do. You wouldn't be able to vaccinate or treat or, you know, basically take me out of my home and quarantine me. And just to let you know, Missouri does have an isolation and quarantine in the state of Missouri that a health officer can remove you and isolate you and quarantine you. They don't have, however, that they can force vaccinate or treat you, you know, basically beyond your will by any means necessary. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, that should scare anyone living in the state of Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy and terrifying. You know, you have a lot of experience working with lawmakers to try to defeat bad ideas and promote good ideas. What advice do you have for activists across the country who are looking into their state statutes and finding horrors like this buried deep within legislation? You know, what's the best way to work with legislators and try to block some of these ideas? And, you know, what's at stake here if we don't get this kind of stuff stopped?
Well, I think obviously our freedom is at stake. Our very existence is at stake. And that seems like so alarmish. And yet here we are. And I think it's just the reality that we're living in now. You know, we've seen in other places like Australia where they will set up camps. I mean, they will do these things if they are not stopped. And so now is the time to protect our freedoms and our liberties. So I would say you work with your most conservative lawmakers and you work beside them, you educate them, and you come with the solutions. You know, the days of us waiting for a hero are over. We are the hero, you know, that exists. I always say, you know, there's one hero that's going to come for sure, and that's Jesus Christ. And beyond that, we better start to look to ourselves for solutions and answers. The other thing I did come on to talk to you about, Alex, was the bill that does rest on DeSantis's desk right now. As we see across the country that the hospitals are, you know, not sugarcoating it, basically just instituting all the protocols that are killing off people that we love and care about. And I can say personally, I've had so many of these calls and it is almost impossible to help people or get the protocol once they're in the hospital system. Our civil redress of grievances are being stripped from us. That's what you need to understand. So we, almost every single state last year passed a COVID liability or tort reform bill. And we have been conditioned as Republicans that tort reform is a good thing, so we don't even look at it. We don't dig into it. I was guilty of it as well. Okay, so first offender here. But what you find is they're stripping away our ability to sue them. It's you and I. It's not the lady that is wanting to go and sue with a frivolous lawsuit about coffee at McDonald's, okay? It's not that. That isn't what tort reform is meant. It is stripping away your ability, my ability, to go in and sue a hospital because they're in malpractice. I mean, there's no other way to really say it. We can go after them criminally, but that's an impossible standard for you and I. I mean, to think that even if they are killing off people and knowingly killing them off, for you and I to prove that and criminally hold them to that standard is an impossible standard. I mean, civilly is where our redress of grievances lie. And so they're chipping that away. They're chipping it away with not only the medical community, and this is what people need to know, they have to follow the CDC. They have to follow the CDC or else they are held liable. Yeah. That is not just your hospital. That is not just your doctor, by the way. It's businesses. It's worded in here for businesses. It's worded in here for nonprofits. It's worded in here for your church. So what happens when you go to your church and they say that, you know, vaccines and all that off the table, that you have to have a passport to enter your church? What will the church do at that point?
Lisa, where is all this coming from? I mean, I doubt that state legislators all across America woke up one day and said, hey, we should give everybody immunity if they obey the lunatics at the CDC. Obviously, this is coming from somewhere. What's the source of this?
Well, what we find is the common thread when we pull on it happens. It's Bill Gates, really. Mm. It is the funding of Bill Gates through non-for-profit organizations like the National Governors Association, the Legislators Association. People don't understand that these are not pure government institutions. They're actually non-for-profits. And they bring in the bureaucrats of the governor. They bring in legislators. And then they feed them these policies. And it's almost like it's a buffet, Alex. So they want to have us under the same standard eventually. But right now, you just come and you pick which one is the best one to move your state forward now. But in the end, we're all going to look alike. So if it's chipping away with the amount of time that you're able to sue an entity from 5 years to 2 years, that's chipping away at it. If it's making it where your, you know, your lawsuits where you can come together and join together, they can only be done through one county instead of a whole state. That's chipping away at it. If it's this civil liability, they made sure the civil liability portion that we're talking about today, it already was applied before COVID really rolled out and people were going to be held liable. And when I talk about who's going to be held liable, I'm talking about Bill Gates himself. We can't go after a non-for-profit now under this civilly because our avenue to do that, to again, address it with a civil redress of grievances has been taken from us because as long as they are following FDA, CDC protocols, then they're immune from liability. The only way that they are liable is if they would stray from that protocol. So if your hospital wants to use hydrochloroquine, they can be held liable. Yep. That's why they're not going to do it.
Yep. Yeah. We've experienced that here in Florida. It's affected my family personally, and they will not do what the family wants. They will not do what even the patient wants. They'll only do what the CDC says. And I think you're exactly right. A big part of it is because of this legislation giving them immunity if they obey the CDC and the FDA. Lisa, we've got about a minute left. Tell people what, you know, some final thoughts on getting involved. I think a lot of this is overwhelming to people, you know, but I guess the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? Just one bite at a time. What are some early bites that people can take who want to get involved in this and protecting our freedom? How would you recommend they get involved?
Well, one right now that's right before you today is if the governor, everyone should call Governor DeSantis. Today, whether you live in Florida or not, it's about protecting all of us. So you call him, you tell him that you do not want him to extend COVID liability protections in the state. That's the first tangible thing you can do. Other than that, you go, you meet with like-minded people, you help your legislators. They need help. They're drowning in the states. The good conservative ones are drowning, and they need you to get involved and help them move the ball forward. Help them stand when they're able to do a filibuster. You help them get the word out when they need the word out. You help them by your gifts and your skill set, if that's social media, if that's legislation, whatever your skill set is.
Awesome. Well, Lisa, thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your insights on these important topics, actually these critical topics, and hopefully we'll have you back on very soon. Thanks again.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.
All right, folks. That was Lisa Panett. She, as I mentioned, is highly involved in the state of Missouri, working with the legislature there to try to stop bad things and promote good things. So it was an honor and a pleasure to have her. We hope you'll share this out, folks. This, again, is a critical topic. It's happening in all of our states. It's not just Missouri. It's not just Florida. It's everywhere. So share this out. Get involved. Until next time, God bless you all.